We're in the middle of Likutei Moran Tanina. We're up to Torah Tes. Tonight, last week we had finished Torah Ches and Likutei Moran, which took several weeks to complete. And this week we're starting a new chapter and a series of chapters that are easier in the sense that they're smaller, but there's tremendous depth to be found in every word that we're gonna discuss here, as you'll see. And each one, according to his own level, can understand the depth that's to be found in each Torah and Likutei Moran. Rabbeinu Zal bases this Torah on a pasuk in Yechezkel Anovi and a statement in the Tikkunei Zohar. The Tikkunei Zohar discusses this pasuk, and Rabbeinu Zal expounds a little bit on what the Tikkunei Zohar says. The pasuk in Yechezkel says, "El asher yihye shomo horuach loleches yelechu," which is a pasuk which doesn't seem to have any pshat standing on its own. Over there in Yechezkel, it blends in with what this discussion is. To the place where the wind or the spirit will go, there it will go. Rabbeinu Zal says, Iso b'tikunei Zohar, it's found in the Tikkunei Zohar, which is a sefer that consists of 70 chapters that were written by Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal and his son, just discussing the first word of the Torah, the word voracious. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal shows in his Sefer how from the first word of the Torah we could learn out all 613 mitzvahs, number one, plus everything that's found in all of Shas, in all of Shulchan Aruch, all the wisdom of the Torah can be found in the word Bereishis alone. And Rabbeinu Zal once made a statement that once Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal accomplished this feat, it's logical to assume that the same thing could be said about any word of the Torah. The fact that the Zohar HaKadosh says, Kutshe Barichu v'Yisrael v'Oiraiso Chadhu, that Hashem and the Jews and the Torah are one, it means that Hashem is infinite, just as Hashem is infinite, the Torah is infinite, and the Jewish people are infinite, no end. The Gemara says that even when Hashem gets angry at the Yidden and he says, Chitzai achalebom, I'll get so angry at them that I'm going to use every single arrow of mine on them. I'll use up all my arrows on them. The Gemara darshins, Chitzai achale. My arrows will be used up, will be finished, but the Jews will never be finished, meaning the Jews are here to stay permanently, eternally. Why? Because the Zohar HaKadosh says that this is a trilogy. Hashem, the Torah, and Bnei Yisrael are all tied in together. They're all one and the same. So that just as Hashem, Kaviyochol, is a permanent fixture, so too with the Torah, so too with Bnei Yisrael. And just as Hashem is infinite, so too the Torah is infinite. And when we deal with infinite, any part of infinity is also infinity, we understand. Any word of the Torah can also be stretched through the Ayin Ponim Shel Torah and through all the different pshotim and depth that's to be found in the Torah. We can go on infinitely just in studying one word of the Torah. They bring about the Vilna Goyen, Zecharon Levracha, that when he was older, the sefer that they found him most often with was a Chumash. The thing that they saw most often, and it seemed a little bit peculiar, a person who had learned so much, and now the grand finale was a Chumash, the answer was, obviously, he had reached such a shlemus and sechel in knowledge of Gemara and depth of Torah, that now it was time to return back to the Chumash and to be able to look into the Chumash and find how every aspect of Torah Shebal Peh, of secrets of Torah, was contained within the Chumash itself. As we find in his Sforim, there are drushim to be found even on the trup. On the trup, the musical notes of certain words in the Torah, there are whole drushim in the Sforim of the Vilna Gaon explaining halachas that we learn out from the items that we find in the trup. So now Rabbeinu Zal says, the Tikkunei Zohar says, Kulhu arkin delibo misnagin bosarucha. The Tikkunei Zohar says that all the different arteries of the heart are controlled, the movement that goes on within them is controlled by the wind that comes from the lungs. Harei udechsiv el asher yiyeh haruach leleches yelechu. That what determines the halicha that goes on within the heart, it's guided. The most important item that affects it is the pulmonary arteries, the connection, the hookup between the lungs, the respiratory system, and the heart. That's what really, really controls the direction and the pumping and everything that goes on within the heart. And the Tikkuni Zohar over there in Tikkun Yud Gimel has a whole deep explanation showing how everything that we study biologically, all the systems that are going on in the body, and the whole flow of blood from the left, from the ventricles to the auricles that goes on within the heart, the Tikkuni Zohar says how all of this reflects on Seydus HaTorah, different secrets that the Torah discusses about the north versus the south, the different directions, which ones represent Chesed, which ones represent Din, and how this is reflected by the movement of the blood within the heart. So the Rabbi Nizal says now, Dahainu haruach hayotzei mekanfei horeya, the wind that comes forth from the lobes of the lungs, kiel mole kanfei rei denashven alibo havalibo ikid kol gufa. The Tikkun Ezer says, were it not for the lungs which rest on the heart and which fan the heart would burn up the entire body, because we know the heart is constantly pumping, beating. This pumping creates friction, which is heat, which would cause the body to burn up. The air conditioning system for the body, just as lahavdil in computers, those machines that are moving at tremendously high speed, all of them must have either a fan or water cooling system in order to be able to exist. So too the body, the human body, which is functioning in this manner also, where there's something in there that's beating, moving at a rapid pace, generating heat, it must have something on it to cool it in order for the human being to survive. Kinira b'chush, as we see within the physiology of a person. Rabbein Ezal explains now, Shelefa omim, Rabbein Ezal says, Ki al yidei haruach mechaben haner, umadlikin haner. Kinira b'chush. You should know that through wind has a property of either extinguishing a light or making a light actually come forth. Kinira b'chush, as is seen physically, shelefa'omim nichbe haner al yidei haruach hamenashev. At times, a candle is extinguished through a wind that blows. A powerful wind comes and extinguishes the candle. Ulefa'omim, at times, madlikin haner, we actually rekindle a flame, shenichbe, which almost went out, al yidei haruach shemenashvim boi, by blowing on a coal that's about to go out. The oxygen, that air that you let to get to it, is what actually causes the candle to rise up again. Rabbein Ezal explains now why. Note how important this is. The Pasuk says about the Torah, Chotzvo Amudeho Shiva, that normally people assume that there are five books of the Torah, five Chumashim in the Torah, Bereishis, Shemayis, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvorim. And yet the Gemara says that in actuality there are seven Chumashim in the Torah, because within the Chumash Bamidbar it's split into three Chumashim, because you have the part, the special part called Vayihi B'Nesaya HaOroin, those 83 or so words that are found there within the upside down nuns, that's classified as a Chumash unto itself. So the part before it constitutes one Chumash. That little chapter itself is a second Chumash. The part after it is a third Chumash. So Bamidbar alone is three Chumashim. You have the other four Chumashim. This is the explanation of the Pasuk, Chotzvo Amudeho Shiva, that there are seven pillars of the Torah. The Mefarshim bring that this corresponds to the Sheva Chochmois. There are seven outstanding wisdoms of the world, meaning music, engineering, the different seven wisdoms that exist. And any person who is zeicher to study the Torah with enough depth would be able to understand all the secrets behind all of these seven wisdoms just from the knowledge of Torah alone. As we find in the Gemara, we have the whole discussion of geometry, circumference, other items in the Gemara and Sukkah, and in the Zohar Kodesh especially, we have discussions about musical notes, the whole construction of music, astrology in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, the whole wisdom of the stars and the sun and all the interplanetary connections. So all of these wisdoms are found in the Torah. The Zohar Kodesh, Rabbein Ezal is going to explain now, using this initial discussion in the Zohar Kodesh, why fire works in the manner that it does. Why it is that air, wind, has a power either to extinguish fire or to cause it to go higher. Rabbein Ezal explains, Shelefomim nichba, Rabbein Ezal explains now, Ki kibui haner, the extinguishing of a candle, hual yidei shenoifel al haner afruris, usually happens through particles of dust falling on this flame. V'nifrodin chelkei ho'esh sheyesh boi miyasoid ho'esh. And the different particles, the different molecules, in a sense, of fire that are found there, become separated through this dust, and this dust causes these particles of fire to become separated from the yisoid of esh, the mokar of the fire, ve'enom yicholim livor, and this stops them from being able to burn, from being able to serve as a fire, as a flame. The alkane, and therefore, kishemenafchin by ezer ruach, when you blow lightly on such a candle that's about to become extinguished, how? Because these particles of dust have caused the oxygen, in a sense, to be blocked from the flame, and they're causing this flame to be about to go out. When you blow on the fire at that time, the act of blowing, azai haruach menafes min haner ha'afurius, menafeach min haner ha'afurius, the air blows away, it disperses the particles of dust that were affecting this fire, vayideze choizrim v'nischabrim v'niskashrin chelkei ho'esh. This, once these dust particles have been dispersed, now the different parts of the fire that before were being separated by these dust particles, now they're allowed to rejoin, to group themselves back together, umaschilin lidloik, and this is what allows them to start again burning properly. V'chein lefa'omim mechabin haner al yidei haruach shemen afeach umafrid ho'esh min haner. And so too, at times, by the act of blowing at a candle, you're able to extinguish the candle for a similar reason. This time, you're using the blowing to actually separate, to disperse the fire in a manner whereby when the particles that make up this fire become dispersed enough, that's what causes the fire to go out, to become extinguished. Now, Rabbi Nazal explains, now the question is, how does this wisdom, if this wisdom were of no significance to a person in Avodas Hashem, it would not exist. We have to know that any chokhmah that exists in this world whatsoever, any wisdom of music or science or mathematics or anything, the only reason why it was designed was to help people come closer to Hashem. As the Pasuk says, Bechol derochecho do'ehu, there exists a power within a human being to be able to get to know Hashem better from every single aspect of what goes on in your life. The Torah is called Eitz Chaim Hilamachzikim Bo, it's a tree of life. And if you want to get to understand the Torah well, one of the best pirushim on Torah is life. Study life itself and everything about life, you'll be able to understand the wisdom of Torah better. So here also, Rabbi Nizal is going to show now how by understanding how a candle, how this fire works with the wind and all of this, we're going to be able to understand how this reflects on tzaddikim and their relationship with Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Nizal explains now, Umanhige hadoyer heim bechinas ruach. We know that the leaders of every generation are referred to by this term ruach. We find throughout the Torah, when Hashem asked Moshe Rabbeinu to provide a replacement for himself, the wording in the Torah that's used is ish asher ruach elikim boi. That's the terminology that's used in many, many places in the Chumash and the Navi. When it speaks about a leader of Klal Yisrael, he's called ish asher ruach elikim boi, as we're going to see in a minute. Umanhige adoyer heim bechinas ruach, kemoshe kosuv ish Asher Ruach Boy. This is a person who possesses Ruach, spirit. And Rashi HaKodesh explains, Sheyoidea lahaloich neged ruchoi shel kolechod viechod. Why is this term specifically used about a tzaddik, about a leader? Because Rashi HaKodesh explains that the main quality that a Jewish leader has to have, we know that the Pasuk says about the Am Yisrael, Yisrael asher becho espo'er, that in the Jewish nation there exists individuality. People make a joke, Rachmona Litzlon, that you get three Jews in a room, you'll have six opinions. You're right, because they're not like the goyim, one lump of wood, of dead wood. Each and every yid possesses a nekuda toiva, an oyer, a seichel, an individuality which gives off its own radiance. Now, if a person is expected to be a leader over 600,000 individuals, the only way in the world conceivable that he could do it is if he possesses the power to be able to deal with each individual on his own level. The wording in Rashi HaKodesh is, Isha Sheruach Lekimboi, Sheyodea Lahaloich Neged Ruchoi Veruchoi Shel Kol Echad V'Echod. He knows how to deal, he has a spirit within himself that's able to change itself in so many different ways, such a variety of ways, to be able to deal with each and every single Yid on his own level, in his own way. Rabbein Azal says, V'Yisrael Hein Bechinas Libo. We know that the Jewish nation as a whole represent the heart. Ki Yisrael Hein Libo D'Chol Alma, because the Zohar HaKadosh says that Klal Yisrael are called the heart of the world. This discussion in the Zohar HaKadosh we quoted several times before. This is one of the fantastic pieces in the Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Pinchas. What Yisrael HaKadosh says, that Rabbi Abba, who was one of the closest Talmidim of Rabbi Shimon Yehoyazal, he once told over a story to one of his friends, Rabbi Yossi, another Talmud of Rabbi Shimon Yehoyazal. The Yisrael HaKadosh says, when he finished telling over this story, Rabbi Yossi went over to him and kissed his hand, and he told him these famous words, Eloi Asino Lahai Alma Ela Bishvil Do, if I came to this world just to hear this story, it was worth it. Every difficulty that I experienced in life, to come just to hear this story, it was worth it. What was the story? Rabbi Abba told him, I once heard a story from Rabbi Shimon Yehoyazal, who told over an incident that once happened with Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanes, Rabbi Eliezer HaGodol, that one time, one of the wise men of the Goyim, a Chochem among the Goyim, approached Rabbi Eliezer HaGodol, and he decided to mock him, to make fun of the Yidden. So he asked him three outstanding questions. One question was, you Jews say that you're looking forward to the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. How can you say that when in your Torah itself it's written, Godol yeh kovoid habayis ha'achroim min horishon, that the latter Beis HaMikdash is going to be nicer than the first one, which implies two. It implies a first one and a second one, and the second one is going to be nicer than the first, seeming to imply no mention of a third. This was one challenge. Second challenge, you say that you Jews are the closest ones to Hashem. If you're so close to Hashem, usually one who is beloved by the king, that's the one who has life the best. The king gives him a nice palatial estate, and so, you know, he treats him very nicely. Why is it that the Jews are the most downtrodden nation in the entire world? And thirdly, again, you people say that you're the choicest of Hashem. You're the chosen people and everything. Therefore, it would only be therefore, you eat only the choicest of foods, supposedly. You restrict your diet to eating only kosher, etc. Then why is it that if you look at a Jew, and lahavdil goy, the goyim are the strong ones, the physically strong and healthy ones, and the Jews are known as the weakest nation in the world? These are the three challenges that this goy offered to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanes, and actually he said it in a mocking way, in a disrespectful way. The Zohar HaKadosh says, for starters, Rabbi Eliezer HaGodol took one look at this goy, and he became a pile of bones. That was the end of that goy, finished. The Zohar HaKadosh says, at this point, Rabbi Eliezer HaGodol said, Hashem Adoneinu Mo Adir Shimcha B'chol Oretz. Hashem, how great you are, how great is the kavod of Hashem. And he proceeded to explain the answers to these three questions of the goy. Number one, he disproved the first pasuk, which seems to imply true. It says first and the second. But there are many other pasukim in the Torah. In other words, it says that between the second will be much nicer than the first, as the Gemara says in Baba Basra, that anyone who didn't see the binyan of Hurdus never saw beauty in his world. Hurdus was a genius in being able to design a marble, a green type of marble, as the Gemara says, that anybody who looked at the Beis HaMikdash at that time, it looked like you were looking at the ocean, the living ocean, the waves flowing. He was such a genius, they had such geniuses at the time designing it, that he was able to make the appearance of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash look like this, plus other fantastic things that went into the design of that second Beis HaMikdash. But Rabbi Eliezer HaGodol proved from other psukim that there's no question at all that Hashem makes it very clear that there are going to be three. Just as we mentioned many times, that emes, the term emes, always corresponds to the third level. We have the Avos HaKadoshim, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham Avinu is known as Chesed. Yitzchak Avinu is known as Gevura. Yaakov Avinu is known as Emes. Titein Emes LiYaakov. The third one is Emes. And the Meforshim explain, the Gemara says, Kushto Koi, that Emes, truth, stands eternally. Truth can never be knocked down. The Gemara proves that if you look at the word sheker, the design of the word sheker, every letter in sheker only has 1 foot to stand on. The base of the shin is only one leg. The kuf, also only one leg. The resh, only one leg. Whereas in emes, each one of the letters, the aleph, the mem, tov, have 2 legs to stand on, showing that that will stand solidly. The Meforshim bring, this is the side of the third Beis HaMikdash. The third Beis HaMikdash is Bechinas Emes, which is Koi, which is Kayom Lo'ad. That's the one that's going to last eternally. So Rabbi Eliezer will explain that aspect. Then he said, as far as the question as to whether the Yidden are the choicest chosen people of Hashem, why is it that they have so much suffering and everything? He said, if you study the human body, what's the most important part of the body? Unquestionably, the heart. Without the heart, the whole body falls to pieces. And yet we find that when there exists any pain whatsoever, any difficulty in the body, the heart is the one that's most sensitive to it. Because of the fact that the heart is so important, it's called the melech, the king of all the different organs of the body. Therefore, any difficulty, any problem in any part of the body, if you learn biology, you know that whenever there's a problem situation in any part of the body, it reflects on how the heart pumps blood. The heart is the one which senses exactly what's going on in the body, and whenever it senses a shortage in one place, or a difficulty, or an overheating, or an overcooling, it's the heart that's sensitized to it and reacts immediately to correct the situation. So too with the Am Yisrael, because they are the heart of the world, they're the ones who are most sensitive to every single thing that's going on in the world. Therefore, they feel it the most. Therefore, if we find that the Yidden seem to be suffering the most, it's because they're most sensitive to everything that's going on in the world. Thirdly, as far as the question of kosher, why do we eat? Why is our diet much more limited than that of the Goyim? The answer is, again, those that are familiar with biology know that when the body digests food, there's a filtering process, a refinement that goes on with the body, and each and every organ of the body, depending on its hierarchical level, according to its level of significance, it receives a more refined level of food. The heart, which is the most important organ of the body, the Zohar Kodesh uses the wording that the lipo is nizoin mishufra de shufra. The heart is given the choicest particles of food to eat because it's so important. Therefore, it must go through it. There must be a selection, a filtering, and a refiltering before we pick out the choicest particles of food that the heart can be nourished from in order to maintain its high level status within the body. So too, the Yidden, who are called the lipo, the Chol Alma, the heart of the whole world, therefore they also must eat what Kaviyochol Hashem calls the most refined elements of food in the world, because of the fact that they're the ones who are in control. They are the Melochim, Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Melochim Haim. They're the kings of the world, just as heart is king in the body. Therefore, they have to be treated in this royal manner and eat only this royal, refined, extremely refined type of food. Now, this doesn't necessarily manifest itself in physical strength. This refers to the neshama. Kaviyochol Hashem has determined what items within the food serve to strengthen the spirit of a person or to weaken the spirit of the person. Now, so we see, what do we see from this? The Yisrael heim bechinas libo. The Am Yisrael is referred to as the heart. Ki Yisrael heim libo dechol alma, as the Zohar Kodesh says in Parshas Pinchas there. Utzrichen manhigei hador lenashev bechinas ruchom al kolechot mi Yisrael sheheim libo de alma. One of the functions of the manhigei hador, the tzadikim, is they have to blow their wind at this heart, at the Jewish people, where each one is considered a heart of the world, lenafeach mehem hoafruris, to be able to blow off those dust particles that gather sometimes on this fire, this flaming fire, the heart, and attempt to extinguish this fire. Dahainu, Rabbi Nezal says, what is this? Afrurius, Dahainu, Moroshchayra, Shenayfalayim. This refers to the sadness, the depression, Rachmona Litzlan, that attacks the Yid many times. Shalideze, Eino Yochel, Hoisha Yisraeli. Through this sadness and depression, at times a Yid cannot, a Yid, Shehu Bechinas Leiv, who is this concept of the heart of the world, cannot lidloik velivor lashem isporach, cannot burn and flame up to Hashem. Why? Because he's attacked by this depression, this offer. The pasuk says, the nochosh offer lachmai, that the nochosh, which is the snake, the satan, the ikar weapon of the satan is this offer, this lowly feeling, where he pulls a person into a sad frame of mind, unhappiness, depression. He pulls him down in this way. So Rabbi Nezal says, the Jewish nation as a whole, which is classified as this lave, this fire, at times this Jewish nation is attacked by this offer, these dust particles, which attempt to disperse the fire, to weaken the burning power of the Am Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Nezal says, Gam Yesh Rishoyim, there also exist Rishoyim, Shein Bechinas Erev Rav, which constitute this concept of an Erev Rav, Ukeshehim Neiflim Al Halev, and when they fall upon this heart, meaning, Dehainu Al Yisrael, when they befall the Am Yisrael, Ze Gam Kein Bechinas Afurius, they also represent these dust particles that fall on the fire, Shalideze Ein Yochel Livor Kanal, that through that the heart cannot burn. Now this Erev Rav, is this something of the past? The answer is no. The Zohar HaKadosh says on the Pasuk in Eicha, Hoyu Tzoreho Leroish, the enemies of the Jews became their leaders. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Rachmona Litzlan, Ve'ikvas of the Meshicha, we're going to have the Erev Rav come back, not just come back, but come back as the leaders of the Jewish nation, Rachmona Litzlan. All of these leaders, so-called leaders that we see today, Rachmona Litzlan, that are not from, that are disassociated from Torah, and that try to work against Torah, Rachmona Litzlan, and try to pull the Am Yisrael down, try to impose this depression, this lowly feeling on the Jews, where they're ashamed to say that the Jews are the choicest people of the world. We're not ashamed to show our true identity in the mitzvahs and the Torah. They're trying, Rachmona Litzlan, to assimilate and to encourage welcoming in mixed marriages. Rachmona Litzlan, these reformed rabbis who are going around encouraging, they're going to welcome now this whole concept of allowing assimilation. Why? All because they're ashamed to come out straight and say that there is a big, big difference between Jew and Lahavdil Goy, and there's no way in the world that these two will mix. And if you ever attempt to mix them, it's like oil and water. The oil will always rise to the top. There's no way in the world you'll get to merge these. So the Zohar HaKadosh warned us about this before. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the words Erev Rav are Begematria Das, which means Sechel. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, in every single generation, there are these B'nai Deo, these supposed intellectuals, these philosophers, these people who are far from the wisdom of Torah and will not submit to the wisdom of Torah. And on their own intellect, on their own wisdom, they try to build a philosophy and ideology, and they say that they're the ones who are professing Judaism. What's wrong? I'm a Jew. Why can't my kids be accepted just because they married shiksas? You're going to tell me that my grandchildren are not Jewish? What? I'm Jewish. I eat Jewish-style rye bread and the whole bit and all of this nonsense. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that this is pshat in this posuk, hoyu tzoreho l'roish, that these enemies of the Jews will at one point in time become, Rachmona Litzlan, the leaders. And this is what the Gemara says at the end of Saita, p'nei hadoer k'p'nei hakelev, that the main suffering of the Am Yisrael in the time of the coming of Moshiach is going to be the fact that the Penei Hador, the leaders of the generation, the vast majority of those who supposedly represent the leadership of the Jewish nation, Rachmona Litzlan, are Bechinas Tzoreho. They're this Das, the Klipa. They're the Yunus, the Yumbrus, the Bnei Bilam, whom the Zohar HaKadosh discusses, who are also philosophers, the Erev Rav, who always worked against Moshe Rabbeinu, against the true Tzadikim, against the Chochmas HaTorah. Rabbi Nezal says, the Alkain, and therefore, because there exists this threat to the Jewish nation. Therefore, one of the functions of the leaders of Klal Yisrael is to disperse this afruris, this dust that attempts to settle on this fiery heart of a Jew, from every one of the Jews, and then once the tzaddik accomplishes this function, let's say from one yid he's able to remove from him all the afurius that's covering his heart, then suddenly all the particles of fire of his heart come together and they begin to burn properly, and then one Jew unites with another Jew and all of these individual fires start to unite, and the whole Am Yisrael becomes one big Bechina slave, the Kolechot Viechot Miyisrael Nasa Bechina slave, Lamokoim Shetzorech Shiyeshom Bechina slave, and each and every single Yid becomes a Bechina slave in his specific place where he's supposed to connect to this total lave. And they begin again to burn to Hashem, to have this true yearning and desire, this true Hamshacha to Hashem. Rabbi Nazal says,
yeah. So this means if somebody doesn't have this fire to come close to Hashem by getting together with other people, other Jews,
it'll improve his chances, definitely. But the main thing Rabbeinu Zal stressing here is that this is one of the main functions of tzaddikim. As the Pasuk says, if you look throughout the Torah, whenever the Torah discusses tzaddikim, the word tzaddik is always associated with simcha. Oyer zaruah la tzaddik, uli yishrei lev simcha. Oyer tzaddikim yismach. These two are always one and the same, because this is one of the main functions of the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Rabbeinu Zal says in the Torah L'Kutam Aran, ikra, that the ikra Neshichas Hanochosh Hi Atzvus V'Atzlus, that you should know that the main bite of the Satan is two things, depression and laziness. Those are the two things that Rachmon Letzlan can pull a yid down very easily. And if that's the main bite of the Satan, it's understood that the main things that tzaddikim are there to counter are these two things, Atzvus V'Atzlus. And how do they do this? Rabbeinu Zal explain now by understanding this whole wisdom of how a candle works, and by understanding which part of the body corresponds to a candle, and by understanding how that corresponds to the Am Yisrael relative to the whole world, we understand what the function of the lungs, the same function in the lungs corresponding to the heart, that's the function of the tzaddikim in servicing the Am Yisrael, which are called this lave.
It seems that Rabbi Nachman is saying that only if you have a few Jews together do you have Kohen a slave.
No, he referred to an individual yet. If you take a look at that, before that, take a look at the sentence before that. That's step number one. Each kol echad miYisrael is a bechina slave. Then the chayzer and v'nischarber and chelkei ha'ish shebechol echad v'echad miYisrael v'nischash v'nisobia. And then he discusses it on a total picture. In other words, I believe that Rabbeinu Zal is saying that this has to take part number one on individual level. Then, as all these individual fires get together, that's when this lave, this libo, which the Zohar Kodesh, which referred to the whole Am Yisrael as a lave, that's when this total lave is able to function properly.
Is that implying like when Mashiach comes,
The tzaddikim in every generation are trying to do this on their own level. In other words, this is their function. The Am Yisrael is called the lave. When the lave is kitikunai, automatically every part of the body is kitikunai. When the Am Yisrael will achieve a shleimus, automatically the whole world will achieve a shleimus. Each tzaddik in every generation is trying to work towards this. We're going to discuss a little bit about this in a minute. But again, we're explaining one main function of Manhigei HaDor is removing the Atzvus by shining into them Simcha.
According to the analogy, the candle burning is the human being.
Right, it's the Am Yisrael on a whole and each individual Yid.
And the beginning to smolder or to be put out is the dust particles or the atzvus that's trying to extinguish it.
Correct.
And the way that it's again
corrected, rekindle.
It's through the tzaddikim.
Exactly.
To blow on.
Exactly, which correspond to the lungs. And that's why, if you'll note, the lungs throughout the Zohar Kodesh, many times the Zohar Kodesh refers to the lungs as the Bechinas Tzaddik. Why? Because if you look in the Gemara in Chulin, you know there's a famous statement in Chulin where the Gemara says, Hey, Aini is Lareya, that the lungs have five lobes. There are five individual sections to the lungs. But the Gemara in Chulin and Yardea also discusses the Varda. The Varda is a sixth lobe, in a sense, which in many ways is the most critical one of the whole lung. That's the one that has more stricter halachas in certain ways regarding the whole picture of the lung. So that in actuality, there are six branches to the lung. And this number six, the Vav, always stands for the Tzadik Yesoid Olam. The Tzadikim are called the Amud, the pillar on which the whole world rests. The letter Vav always refers to Tzadik Yesoid, because we mentioned many times, six times Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei is Begematria Yosef, who represents the union of Tzadik. The Vav is always an union of Tzadik Yesoid, the union of Bris Kodesh, which is represented by this letter Vav, the Vav Rav Ravav, Vav Zera being Yaakov and Yosef, this whole discussion. So this is why many times the lungs are used to represent the concept of Tzadik. That's why Rebbe Zal once mentioned at the Meforshim bring that the word Varda, this last part of the lungs, is exactly bigamakri, the word Rebbe, Reish Beis Yud, showing that this represents the union of a Talmud Chacham, Tzadik. That this, the function of the lungs, because Rabbeinu Zal brings in another term, like Kudamaran, Rabbeinu Zal says, each and every single Yid has in him fire. There's no question about this. Each Yid has an neshama, and an neshama is a bechin of Eish. The problem is, a person doesn't know how to control this fire, how to direct it. That's the function of the tzaddikim, by teaching us the Torah, which has in it the five chumashim, the basic five chumashim. Those five chumashim give a person a place to direct his fire, to apply a fire to building a sukkah, to making tzitzis, to putting on tefillin, to working to be able to have kashrus, you know, and all the different mitzvahs of the Torah. That's what gives you a place to channel this fire. So Rabbeinu Zal brings that the Tikkun Ezra says, bases this on this statement, Il mole kanfei rea, de nashven alibo, hava libo oikid kol gufo. Were it not for the five parts of the lungs, which correspond to the chamisha chum shei Torah, this fire would burn up the person completely. And here again, many times you have Bali Tshuva specifically, who on a skarif to frumkait, and because they just get fired up and nobody puts them on a path, nobody starts teaching them mitzvahs one by one, where they're able to be mekabel on themselves, the oil Torah, the oil mitzvahs one by one, and start climbing, the fire lasts for a while, then it dies out, Rahman al-Islam, and they fall away. The tikkun for that is to be able to service this fire with this cooling system, that which controls the fire, that it shouldn't be chutz min amita, as we're going to learn in 1 minute, the next paragraph is going to discuss this, is the lungs. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, ach lefomim, however, at times, kishemenashev ruach soro, when a storm wind blows, azai hum mavir ho'esh ma'oid chutz min amita. What happens is there exists a potential within wind to blow a fire wildly where it causes destruction. The fire goes outside of its boundaries. You can have a fire that's serving a house, that's heating a home beautifully, fine and well. Suddenly a storm breaks out and that fire is blown outside its domain, outside the fireplace, and it catches to a curtain or something like that. It burns out, burns down the whole house. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Ach lefomim kshemanashiv ruach soro azai hum mavir ho'esh moed chutz min amido. It burns, it causes the fire to burn outside its domain, outside its boundaries. Kemoi kein lefomim, so too at times, yesh shemenashev boha'odom b'chinas ruach sara. There are times when a person is hit with a storm wind, with a storm, umav iroi b'yoyser, this storm causes a fire to be aroused within the person, an extraordinary fire, chutz min amido, irregular, abnormal, sheze b'chinas harisa, This is a concept of destruction, where something breaks out of its normal place and starts spreading and destroying. Bechinas, as we find, Hashem warned Klal Yisrael at the time that there was tremendous fire, Koilei Subrokim, when Hashem was giving to the Torah to the Yidden on Har Sinai. Hashem's only warning to the Yidden was then, Pen Yehersu Lalei Sel Hashem. He warned Moshe Rabbeinu, make sure that you tell the Yidden not to come too close, not to try to come too close, because Pen Yehersu Lalei Sel Hashem, maybe they'll try to go outside their Mechitza. Hashem said, set up fences around the mountain, because if any Yidden try to climb, to hop the fence, and try to go inside, too far inside, where they're not permitted to, V'nofal mimenu amrov, the Pasuk says over there, chas v'shalom, many of them will die. Why? Ki b'mufla mimcho al tidroish, u'b'mechusa nocha al tachkor. We know there exists a concept in Frumkeit of trying to go too far, too high, too fast. Each and every person has a certain madrega of understanding of Hashem, where at that point, based on his level of knowledge of Torah and Halacha and everything, he's able to understand a certain level. And if at that point in time he tries to understand deeper, to ask questions that are outside of his reach, this could cause damage, Rachman Al-San. This could cause a person to lose his Frumkeit, because he's not in a position at that point in time to be able to understand these deeper type questions. And at that point in time, the answer is, wait. Learn a little more Gemara, a little more Shulchan Aruch, you'll get to understand that well. You'll build a Yesod for yourself, then you'll be zecher to learn the Zohar HaKadosh, the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Sifrei Hasidus, then you'll have all the answers that you ever imagined filled in. You'll have much more answers than you could ever figure out questions for. Rabbi Nizal says, the Osur Laharois Lalois Lashem, and there's a definite Isur to try to break out of one's boundaries in coming close to Hashem, not to try to go too far, too fast. There exists a concept of where each and every person is limited to a certain degree, where if he tries to go further than that, chas v'shalom, it could be dangerous for him. A level that's not worthy of him, according to whatever level he's on. Alkain, therefore, Rabbi Nizal says, Kisha Odom Roya Sheboyer Beyoser Chutzmenam Imido. When a person sees within himself that there's a fire burning, this extraordinary fire, Yeda, he should know, Shezem Bechinas Ruach Sorokanal, that what has activated this fire, every Jew has fire in him. But when a person feels that the fire is burning out of range in a wild way, he should know that this is implying that there has now entered into him a Ruach Sa'ara, a storm wind, which is one of the nicknames of the Satan. If you look throughout the Novi, throughout the Gemara, the Yetzirah is called a Ruach Sa'ara Godol Beshato, a storm wind that's very powerful for a couple of minutes, and then he subsides. And if the person fights him off for those few minutes of the test, the Gemara says, afterwards the whole thing disappears and it looks like it was nothing. It wasn't difficult at all. So we see the Satan many times is referred to as this Ruach Sa'ara, who works in two ways. We say in the Tefillah, Hashkivenu, we say, V'hoser Satan milfoneinu u'me'acharenu. We beg Hashem, Hashem, please remove the Satan from in front of us and from behind us. What does this mean? The Mefarshim explain that we picture Hashem Kaviyochel as being over there, in front of us, or above us. We picture normally the Satan, the function of the Satan is to try to stand between us and Hashem and to block us, to set up barriers to block us from being able to come close to Hashem. But that's only one of the ways in which the Satan works. And therefore, we mispalt Hashem, V'hoser Satan milfoneinu. Hashem, please remove this Satan that's standing in front of us, blocking us from our path, headed towards Hashem. But the Mefarshim explain there's another Satan, there's another Yetzirah that's even more damaging at times. At times, when a person wants to be frum and he wants to be good, the Satan sees that to tell this person not to learn or not to be frum is ridiculous. The person will laugh at the Satan. What does the Satan do then? He sneaks behind the person and he pushes the person. He says, you want to come close to Hashem? Great, I'll help you. And he causes the person to go too fast. He causes the person to attempt something that's out of reach for him, to go too far, too fast. And in that manner, the person explodes or self-destructs because he tries to take on a level that's too high for him. Rachman al-San, and this harms him. This is why we're mispalil v'aser soton milfoneinu u'me'achareinu. Both sotons Hashem remove from us. So this is this Ruach Sa'ora, Rabbi Nazal explains. Another way of looking at it is this storm wind that explodes within a person sometimes that causes this fire to burn Chutz Min Amidah. We gave many examples of this. Sometimes a person decides he wants to learn Torah. But so fine, you picture, what's the big deal? Go over, start, take the first Gemara in Shas, start from page one and learn one line at a time. No! He wants to learn Shas's 2,700 pages. He wants to finish it this week. And he starts gobbling. He doesn't know which one to pick first. And in his rush and racing, what happens is it lasts 2-3 days. One day he learns 4 hours straight. And the next day again, 4 hours straight. No, the Satan won't knock him out in one day. It'll last 2-3 days. And then after that, his parnosa gets knocked out because he accepted a while. He learned till 4 o'clock in the morning. He forgot to sleep. He forgot to eat. His health gets knocked out. The sultan creates an unbalance, and that's how he knocks him out. And these are the things Rabbi Nazal is addressing in this Torah, watching out for this sultan, this penyeresu, this trying to go too high, too fast, whatever's too much for a person. The Gemara says, Toiv, zu yetzer toiv, Toiv ma'oid zu malach hamoves. That in Bria Soilam, on one day of creation, it says, Vayar al-kim ezcho asher osa v'hine toiv. The Gemara says, on that day, Hashem created the Yetzer Toiv. The following day, it says, Vayar Hashem ezcho asher osa v'hine toiv ma'oid. It was very good. Very? That's the Yetzer Hara. That's the Satan. Too much of anything is dangerous. Too much sweetness, the Navi warns, when it comes to eating honey, eat just enough, because you try to eat too much honey, what happens? It causes you to vomit, to throw up. Too much of anything can cause a sakona, Rahman al-Islam. Rabbi Nazal says now, so when a person sees this, he should know that it's coming from this Ruach Sa'ora. Now Rabbi Nazal says, Ve'eliyahu, and Elio Hanovi should know there was once a tzaddik called Elio Hanovi, Hoyo Yochoy Lahachnia Zois. Part of the greatness of Elio Hanovi was in being able to be Machnia, this Ruach Sa'ora. The Zohar HaKadosh tells that at one point in time, the Satan came before Hashem, and the Satan wanted to get Elio Hanovi. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, Hashem said, don't start with him because he's bigger than you. He'll defeat you, no question. So the Satan said, I want to try anyway. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that this is the meaning of the Pasuk, that when the Pasuk says that Elio Hanovi went up to Shamayim, Ola Bishim Ola Bisseoro HaShamayimo, he went up to heaven in a Seoro, in a storm wind, the Zohar HaKadosh says, Kaviyochol, Elio Hanovi stepped on this Seoro. He used this Seoro as a step stool to be able to go up to Shamayim, showing that he was the one who had been machnia completely this Sa'ora, this Yetzahara, this Satan. He was Olo Bisa'ora HaShamayimah. He used the Satan, in other words, he lowered the Satan completely to be able to use him as a stepping stool to climb up to heaven on top of him, over his body in a sense. So Rabbi Nazal says, Ve'elio ho'yeyocho la'achniyaz, Elio Hanovi knew how to be machniyaz, this, as is found in the Zohar HaKadosh in two places. V'ze b'chinas ish asher rochav al susei eish b'se'oro. The Pasuk says, Novi about Elio Hanovi, that he was one who rode on horses of fire, b'se'oro, on this storm wind. Note, it uses the term fire, the eish, and the se'oro, meaning that Elio Hanovi was able to use both of these, the Eish with the Se'ora, constructively. He was able to be Machnia, the Se'ora, completely, so that the Eish was able to serve him completely, constructively, to help him to rise up to Shamayim. Rabbi Nazal says, Shehoyo Reichev u'machnia susei eish b'se'ora. Elio Hanovi was able to ride on, implying, in other words, that he was on top of these susei eish b'se'ora, meaning, Dehainu ho'eish ha'doylek b'yoyser chutz min amida, this fire that burns within a person at times that's irregular, Shebo al yidei ha'se'ora kanal, which comes through this se'ora, Hoyo Eliyahu Reichev Alze Umachnioi. Elyanovi was the one who was zeicha to ride on this and to be machnia, to take perfect control of it. Ki haruach tzorech lenashev b'mido, because this ruach must be controlled b'mido in its proper measure. Kedei sheyidla ko'eish shebelev b'mido al pimezek hashova kanal, so that the fire that exists within the heart should burn again in a controlled manner, in a proper manner, so that the whole balance should be maintained perfectly. Now note how this ties in beautifully with the fact that the Zohar Kodesh and the Gemara bring that who was Eliyahu Hanavi? The Zohar Kodesh says Pinchos do Eliyahu, that Pinchos and Eliyahu were one and the same. Pinchos ben Elozor ben Aharon HaKoyen. It's brought that Pinchos, the son of Elozor, it's Pinchos ben Elozor ben Aharon HaKoyen, that Pinchos was the son of Elozor, and he was also indirectly the son of Aharon HaKoyen, because the Zohar Kodesh explains that there were two fantastic tzaddikim, Nodav and Avihu, about whom the Torah says, how did Nodav and Avihu pass away? Bekorvosam lefnei Hashem vayomusu. The Pasuk says about them, Bekroivai ekodesh, that Hashem doesn't refer to them as Rishoim. They were tremendous tzaddikim. Bekroivai, they were ones who tried to come too close to Hashem. That was their mistake. They tried to be makriv an esh zora, a fire. They tried to be makriv the k'tiris at a time when they weren't married. The Zohar HaKadosh says, begin the loy in sibu. They weren't married. And when a person is not married, he's not considered a keli sholem. So at that time, they tried to be makriv the k'tiris. It exploded in their faces, in a sense. And this is what caused them to be nostalgic. The Arizal says, which tzaddik served as a tikkun for Nodav and Avihu? The Pasuk says that when Eliyahu Hanavi was about to pass away, Elisha Hanavi, his student, said to him, Vihi no pishnayim baruch ha-cho'elai. Elisha Hanavi asked his rabbi, please give me double your power. The Arizal says this seems to be a ridiculous request. A person has $1 million, you tell him, for inheritance, please leave me 2 million. That's silly. What was Elisha Novi referring to when he said, Vihino Pishnai Bruch HaChoelai? Elisha Novi was telling Eliyahu Novi, I know the secret of your power. This Eliyahu Novi, who's described throughout the Novi as a whirlwind of fire, constant fire shooting from him, fire, Achov misbehaved, I'll fix you. You think there's going to be rain? No rain from the whole world. And the Gemara says this key to rain was always never given to a human being. Eliyahu Novi was able to get it. And other things that are described about Eliyahu Novi, Elisha Novi said to his Rebbe, I know the secret of your power, because you, Eliyahu Novi, who are Pinchas, you were zeicha through your act of standing up for the kovod of Hashem, your act of kanos, of taking this fire and using it constructively, knowing at which point to act with this fire of kanos, in killing Zimri ben Soli and Kozbi ben Sur, by doing that you defended the kovod of Hashem in an incredible way. The Gemara says, because the halacha is kanoin pagan boy. In other words, he acted within the scope of halacha, although he didn't ask a shayla of what to do, because if he would have asked, he would have been forbidden, and yet he did the right thing with this unusual fire. The Zohar HaKadosh says, what was the gift that Pinchas, Eliyahu Hanavi, Pinchas, who is Eliyahu Hanavi, was given as a reward for this? The gift was that he was given the Gilgul of the neshamos of Nodav and Avihu. These two, who were known for their extraordinary fire, their neshamos entered into Eliyahu Hanavi, and they assisted him in his coming close to Hashem. Their tikkun was through him. The Arizal says this is the side of what Elisha Hanavi said. Note his words: Vihi no pishnayim baruch ha-cho'elai. Vihi no. I know that you, my Rebbe Eliyahu Hanavi, are Bechinas No. No is Nodav Avihu. Because you have a double nefesh, therefore please let me be zeicha to draw from this Heora Pishnayim. Let me receive from you this double nefesh that you have. Let me receive this from you at the time of your passing. And Rabbeinu Zal explains in Teres Samach Vav how a Rebbe is able to transfer this double power to a Talmud. So we see that Eliyahu Hanavi was the most outstanding manifestation of one who took this ash, this fire, and was able to use it purely constructively. Rabbi Nazal says that each and every Jew has to see to it to be zeich, to become niskariv to tzadikim, because each and every one of us possesses this fire, which can be hurt in one of two ways. At times, the Satan tries to extinguish this fire by dusting it, by throwing atzvus at a person, all kinds of depression. Parnasa be'itzavon teichalna. The Torah itself testifies that the whole world, the whole Am Yisrael, was cursed. That parnasa is going to come difficult. Be'itzavon, that people are going to undergo very difficult times. Rachmana litzlan. And the only way to fight this is through the chizuk that's given to the Am Yisrael through the tzaddikim. That's one item. On the other hand, the Satan sometimes works completely the opposite, that he'll try to take the fire of a Jew and wind it up real high and cause the person, chas v'shalom, to die or to become destroyed in a bechinas nodav and aviyu. As the Gemara says in Chagiga, the Gemara tells the story of Arba nechnesu lepardes, four tzaddikim who tried to go to a very high level of kedusha. The Gemara says one of them became an apikiris. Two of them passed out from the light. One died. One actually died again because his neshama couldn't contain itself from the brightness of light over there. One, his mind became affected where people couldn't understand what he was saying anymore again because he had been hit with so high level of light that he wasn't able to be metzamtzem. He couldn't constrict it and present it in a normal way to people, so it looked to them like he was crazy. The only one, Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says, was nichnas v'yotza b'shalom. He was so big a tzaddik that he was able to control this fire completely. And in every generation, the Am Yisrael possesses tzaddikim who have this power of helping us to be able to control the fire, to protect it from the afurias, from the atzvus, and to be able to protect it, chas v'shalom, from going chutz min amida. Baruch Hashem. Now, any questions?
Before you mentioned about sheker, you said that each one of the letters has only one. What about the kuf?
The answer is the kuf again. The kuf is made up of two parts which are not connected. You understand? So that each part of the kuf has only one leg. You understand? That's what we're talking about. In the kuf, true, it has two legs, but both complete. Picture standing up two legs without something over them to connect them. Even the two legs are nothing. It's only when you have two legs and something resting above them that joins them, like in the Aleph, you have the two parts touching the ground and there's something above it to solidify it. In the Mem, again, there's two parts but all connected on top. In the Tuf, two legs but all connected on top. That's able to stand solid.
It seems like there are a lot of letters like the Beis.
Right, no, the Gemara points out that this is, in other words, that bedafka, if you look at these two words, what do we identify as a difference between them? That in this word, every letter has no kiyum. And in this word, every letter does have a solid base. That's it. And I was not saying that these are the only letters in the Aleph Beis that have two, showing the exact opposite of this versus this. Most definitely. In other words, another example of this concept of cooling off the fire is an inyan of tefillah, of Torah and tefillah. Because Torah itself, in other words, in this, and here again, this shows you what we said many times, how everything is relative. In this chapter on Likutei Moran, we're referring to the Torah as the cooling agent, as the air conditioning system. On the other hand, the pasuk says, "Haloi koi dvorai ko'esh num Hashem." The Torah itself, many times, is compared to a fire. And there are many people who, through the study of Torah, they were nispaker, they became apikursim. So we see there exists a power, at times, the Torah itself is a fire, which can be explosive, in a sense, to make a person go chutz min amida. The Mefarshim bring, what's the cooling agent for the Torah? It's tefillah. It's only when you have both of these combined, that's when a yid is functioning properly. As the pasuk says, Meser oznoi mishmoya Torah gam tefilosoi toyeva. That tefillah without Torah is meaningless, and at the same time, Torah without tefillah, we have many examples. The Gemara tells the story of Acher, who was a Tana in the Gemara, and he was able to become an apikiris. Why? Because he didn't have the tefillah. What gave Rabbi Akiva his fantastic power of victory over all of them? The fact that he was the biggest tzaddik in terms of tefillah. We have this throughout the Gemara, throughout the Zohar Kodesh, that the whole koyach hatzimtzum of the tanoim, of the tzaddikim, is always in this koyach hatefillah. Baruch Hashem. Next, we'll do the next Torah, which is very short, but extremely, extremely meaningful. Especially the first sentence in this next Torah is one of the biggest yesodos in Breslov or in Frumkeit. Rabbeinu Zal says, Mashe ha'olam rechoikim me'Hashem yisborach, this, that the world is far from Hashem, and note, the world means the world on a whole, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us each and every Jew is considered a world. The Gemara says, Lama nivra odom yechidi, why is it that when Hashem created trees, He created thousands, birds, thousands, millions, man, only one, to teach us that each and every single person constitutes a world. If a person saves one person, he saved the whole world. A person kills one person, chas v'shalom, he was machriv a whole olam. So now Rabbeinu Zal says, Ma sheho olam rechoike me'Hashem yisporach. Ve'einom miskarv me'elov yisporach. This that the world is far from Hashem, and they're not zeichet to come close to Hashem, hu rak machma she'ein lohem yishuv hadas, is only because of the fact that people don't have any time, people don't take any time to think things over well, and they're not miyashev themselves. People don't delve a little bit deeply, think things over as far as life. And we're going to explain in a minute much more what this means. Rabbeinu Zal explains, v'ho'ikar, one of the main things in life, in Avodas Hashem, for a person is, lehishtadel, to strive, liyashev atzmoy heitev, to think things over very, very thoroughly, meaning to ask himself, ma hatachlis mikol hataivos mikol inyonei ha'olam hazeh, what's going to be left over? What's going to remain out of all the taivos, all everything that exists within the Olam HaGashmi, all the steak and potatoes and blintzes and everything that I eat in this world, or any gashmiyistik taivo, or all the work, physical work that I'll do in this world, what's going to remain of it? How temporary is it? It's either the item will be destroyed, it's either item is temporary, and the satisfaction of food or sleep or any gashmiyistik taivo is something that lasts an hour, 2 hours, a day at the most. Or if a person is zeichet to erect a big building, let's say, and the building will stand for 500 years, so the person won't stand for 500 years. The person passes away within the scope of 120 years, and either way, it seems that there's no kiyum to anything he's done within Gashmius. Hein ha-taivois ha-nechnosis l'guf. This applies both to the taivois that enter into the body, meaning taivois achila, for example, the intake of food in the body. It's very any pleasure that you get, any of that type of pleasure, is extremely temporary. Hein taivois shechutz l'guf, or be it the physical desires that are outside the body. Kegoin kovoid, a person who's looking for respect, people should look up to him. How long does it last? Those people who are zeichet to kovod in this world, take a look, read the newspapers, the most respected people in the world, be it kings or politicians or actors or businessmen, all of them. How long does the kovod last? Which person at most takes it any further than the grave? And then it all terminates. Va'azai bevadai yoshuv el Hashem. And any person who will be zeichet to take out a few minutes in the day just to be miyashiv himself, to think things over, to review what he's doing and why is he doing it. What's the purpose behind everything I'm doing? Rabbeinu Zal guarantees that such a person will definitely, definitely be zeichet to tshuva. He'll be zeichet to correct whatever he's doing wrong and to come close to Hashem. And note, this is one of the biggest, biggest etzais of the Satan. One of the main things that the Satan does is he keeps the person on the move. He keeps the person busy. He won't allow a Jew a few minutes to just stop and think. Because the Satan knows that you get any rational person, any person who has an iota of maturity, just a bardas, we're not talking about a genius, we're talking about a person who's 10-year-old mentality could be able to figure out that if there's a choice of eating a big steak, of spending hours and hours working at a career to get to a climax where I'll be able to afford to have filet mignon on my table every night. Any person with an iota of maturity understands that true, that's a tachlis, that's a form of pleasure, But any aspect of pleasure within the Olam HaGashmi, it's temporary, it's very not lasting. And could it be that Hashem created this whole complicated world with all its intricacies and with all the fantastic ingenuity that went into it? All of that was created just so that people should get to eat these fancy steaks and these incredible types of fruit and caviars and all this nonsense. You hear about the greatness that goes on in the White House, these other places, or you read these society columns on newspapers. What are they taught? What's the godless of these actors? They become millionaires and they achieve a level of ingenuity, of kavod now, where every time they get together for a meal, they don't eat normal foods like chicken or meat. They eat bouillon, which nobody likes. The thing probably tastes horrible, but it's so complicated that they're led to believe that this is supposed to be exquisite and it tastes fantastic, so they all try to force themselves and convince themselves that it tastes good. They all go home and throw up, or again, if it does taste good, they overeat and they go home and throw up because they overate. In other words, within the Olam HaGashmi, the best, if a person eats just enough and it happens to be a good, it lasts. How long does it last? Do you remember, if I asked anybody at this table now, do you remember what you ate? Do you remember the most delicious food you ate 2 weeks ago? And anybody with any level of intellect, we're not talking about those people that will remember the menu, people who don't have much more to think about. But any person who has more to think about, obviously this, at best, if you enjoyed a meal, you enjoyed it for an hour or two, or at best you remembered it for a day, and it's gone.